This episode of Enough is brought to you by Squarespace, everything you need to create an amazing, beautiful, and totally awesome website. But Squarespace isn't just for bloggers, that's what we've been talking about a lot, but it's also a great tool for making portfolios or galleries. Squarespace has beautiful tools to create galleries with support for lightbox integration, hover effects, and image resizing. It lets you control the look of your images. You should go take a look at the example page on Squarespace's website, which you can access by going to squarespace.com/70decibels, and you'll take a look at how some photographers and design companies are using this awesome feature of Squarespace. The examples are really cool, and they all look totally different. You'd have no idea that they were all Squarespace sites, and that's what makes this such an awesome and unique package. It really highlights the level of customization you have to make your site look like no other. I want you to go check this out and play around, and the best way to do that is by starting a 2-week free trial. You can do that by going to squarespace.com/70decibels. You don't need a credit card, there's no obligation at all, and if you do sign up, what you want to do is use the coupon code 70decibels5 at 70decibels5 at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and also Squarespace will know that you found them through this show. So thank you very much to Squarespace for sponsoring.
Hey there, sir. How are you today?
I am warm, Patrick. Warm. I have done a rare thing and cracked a window open a little bit.
Wow.
Recording. Usually I
usually you're yelling at me about that.
Yep, but it's a window that's far away, so I'm hoping that it doesn't pick up too much noise. It's like it's not the window that's right in front of my face that I would love to be getting a breeze from. It's another one, just to keep the air circulating a little bit in this room.
Well, let's see. Give me the Celsius and let's see if I can do my magic trick again, where I convert Celsius to Fahrenheit in my head, which is a magic trick. So the fact that I even get close is kind of a miracle.
It's not even that hot here at the moment. I kind of feel embarrassed.
Oh, really?
It's only 17 degrees, but what you need to understand...
That's nothing.
That's the outside temperature. I have a very different temperature in this room, which has been collecting the heat, which is at a high of 24 today. I'm in a very small room. And I have a MacBook Air running, a Samsung 23-inch TV, a Mac Mini, and a mixer all sitting around me, and it's generating a lot of heat.
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay. And this room is the only room in my house that faces the sun.
Yeah. So you're not even really sure what temperature it is inside the room while this is hot.
It could be 1,000 degrees for all I know. nobody really knows at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, you British people don't deal well with heat, but I should talk, right? Because I'm one of those people where the temperature gets above 70 and I start to sweat. I spend most of the time between May and late September dripping wet, just wet all the time. I'm wet. So I'm sure that people did not tune in to hear us discuss the weather.
Probably not, although I seem to be talking about it a lot at the moment because we're having a bit of a heat wave.
I'm sure that this conversation is highly interesting to Benjamin Brooks, who...
The weatherman, I refer to.
Who is obsessed with the weather, but, you know, which is really funny considering he lives in a city where the weather pretty much doesn't change.
Just rains,
Yeah, what's the forecast? Rain. Okay. And tomorrow, rain. All right. And the day after, rain. Any deviation in temperature? Yeah. 5 degrees and rain.
Different temperature of rain.
Either way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So, before the show, you mentioned you wanted to talk about something.
Yeah. So recently, for reasons I don't know, I started collecting things. And I'm having the urge to collect more stuff. So this has come in part. I have spoken on a couple of episodes ago about my love for a particular pen called the Retro 51. Mm-hmm. Now, the Tornado version of the Retro 51, this will be very short non-pen people. They have they make many different exciting models, and they have a new range coming out, and they look very cool to me, and I want to start buying some and collecting them, because, you know, every periodically they bring out new designs, so I want to start collecting those. And today as well, before we started recording, I went to a comic book store, one of the biggest comic book stores in London, called Forbidden Planet, which is incredible. I love it there.
Yes, I've heard legend.
It's a great place, and because there are these vinyl figures. I don't know where this has come from in my brain. I've been seeing a lot of people in my Twitter stream posting pictures of them. I'm going to have to check the name of them now. They're called Mini something. Hang on. Mini. They're something like this. Hang on. Mini. And they're basically, they're fashioned. They're called Mini Mugs. M-U-G-G-S. And okay. They're vinyl figures. And this company makes vinyl figures of all sorts. Like, they make Star Wars and all that sort of stuff. But I've been starting to collect the Marvel ones. And I want to maybe get some DC ones as well, because I'm getting more into comic books again. Especially since I got my iPad. Reading the comics in HD is awesome. I've been doing a lot more of that.
You want to talk just a sidebar? What app are you liking for reading comic books?
In my opinion, if you are serious about comics on the iPad, there is only one app, and that's called Comixology, and that's with an X, Comixology.
Okay.
Comixology has signed deals with DC and Marvel. They put out DC and Marvel's comics, and they have loads of others. Like, they have Dark Horse, ID something. Sorry, comic people. I'm trying to get back into the more indie stuff as well. They've got all the Walking Dead comics and stuff like that.
And can you get back issues of things that were published, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago?
Yep, they have huge catalogs, huge catalogs of stuff, and also as well. DC and Marvel have signed deals. DC are already doing this, and Marvel will be doing it of all of their titles by the end of the summer. It's day-in date publishing of new titles. So the day that a book is in the store, it's on the iPad. And also they've pioneered a new format called CMX HD, which is retina-ready comic books. And all of the new titles are coming out in this, and they are incredible. Like, I'd always enjoyed reading comics on my iPad, but they weren't perfect. But now, to my eyes, I can't tell the difference. And, wow. I mean, I love reading comics, and I love having comics, but I have limited space. Otherwise, this room will be 2,000 degrees if I start putting comics in here as well. So at least I can just go through them on the iPad. And they're not that much more expensive, because comics are pretty expensive. But I actually find them to be cheaper in trade paperback versions on the iPad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in that particular case, I mean, the nice thing is that you are not gathering a whole bunch of paper, that you know, digital is relatively low impact, and, you know, you can easily delete those things when you're done with them, if you so choose. And I would imagine there's some mechanism, you know, to re-download them in the future, should you decide. So, I mean, that's the beauty of such things, right? I remember the old days when I had floppies of and those. I know, Mike, you're too young to remember, but they used to store data on these little diskettes that were about they were square, and you'd stick them in a slot on the computer, and they could hold a full meg. So yeah, I'm joking with you, of course, because I know what you know what floppy is, but I used to take all of, like, if I downloaded a program, from the internet, I would take it and copy it onto a floppy and store those floppies, because a lot of times you'd never know if you'd be able to go back a version, or if you needed to reinstall, you didn't want to download it again, because some things took a long time to download over a dial-up modem, and that was your kind of archive of the program that you could then go reinstall. And I guess the same thing is with you know, that's one of the beauties of the Mac App Store and the iOS App Store, you know, and some of these built-in things is the idea that if you purchased it, you can delete it and at any time in the future go back and re-download it. You know?
Yeah.
And once again, that's another sidebar.
To come back from the Inception level of sidebars that we've got ourselves into. Yes. So basically, I bought these vinyl action figures that are based on the new Avengers characters, like the movie Avengers characters. And they make a bunch of these, and like, for example, at the moment, Iron Man, for some reason, is sold out everywhere, so that, I guess, says a lot for that character. The Iron Man version cannot find it anywhere. And it's one of those things that's now going for like $90 to $100 on eBay.
Wow.
Yeah. As these things tend to do. I went and picked some of these up because I've been seeing a few people in my stream. Some of the comics people in my Twitter stream have been posting images of these.
Okay.
Recently. And so I've, for some reason, had a compulsion to want to start collecting them. I don't really have a reason for it, but I kind of wanted to talk to you today about collections and how that sits with, I know this is a kind of a minefield in a way, but I wanted to know with you how it sits with the idea of minimalism in your in your idea of that, or whatever that might be, or even enough, I guess, is probably the better way of putting it.
And I mean, I guess I have to ask, do these things bring you joy?
Yes, I was happy to have purchased them.
Yes, and you see these things and they bring you joy. On some level, you know, these mini mug things, you know, they incite a bit of, I don't know, just joy, a bit of fun into your surroundings, right? And, you know, I would imagine that, the tornadoes, I mean, there's an example of something that's a tool, right? It's actually useful. You can write with it. And as someone who himself has been known to collect pens, I guess I could still say that I'm a pen collector, even though I'm not nearly as, you know, I went through my, you know, couple of year phase of really being active. And, you know,
that's a big truck, that one.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
I'm sorry. Okay. I don't know what it is. There's not. What's interesting is that normally, like, it's a window open or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it's so loud today.
Are you sitting on the street?
No, I don't have. I don't even have a window open, and I see that I can tell.
What's happening? They're coming.
Yeah, in. Yeah. I'll have to check that for the next episode. I apologize to everyone who's listening.
Okay,
And so, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I don't necessarily see anything wrong with a collection if it's providing some value to you, right? If it's useful or even value as far as injecting joy into your life, you know, but I think a lot of us will collect things for a period of time. And then the value or, you know, that those were bringing at that one time, the value becomes a sentimental attachment that even though it's not bringing value anymore because it once did, we don't want to get rid of these things or we tie a value to them in the current time that no longer exists. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like I see that as we kind of need to know when to let go of them. Like,
yeah,
everything that I'm currently collecting, I want to know I can let go of. A big collection that I do have that I've just thought of is boxes for Apple products.
Yeah,
I think I have the box of every Apple product I've ever owned.
Yeah.
And the only time I've ever given them away is when I've given a computer. I've given away my past two Mac Minis to family members. So obviously I put it in the box to give to them.
Right.
Because it just makes most sense for transportation. But I even have the box to my iPod Mini. I have that box.
Well, and I think that, I often tell my clients you want to keep the box for as long as the warranty period. If the product comes with a 1-year warranty, keep the box, because if you do have to ship, and the packing materials within the box, because if you do have to, say, send it back to the company, the box is the best container to do that, right?
You're just being sensible here. Like, I'm just keeping them because they're these beautiful items.
right. Well, and I do that too. One thing I'll probably address a little bit more in a future episode is that I think it's useful to mark a date on such things, or put them into some sort of system where it will pop back up, say, in a year. So if the goal is keep a box for as long as you own a product, or keep a box for as long as the warranty lasts, what have you, then you're going to want to make sure that when that warranty ends, that you remember to go through and to clean out and throw away the box, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm as guilty of it as anyone else. I've got, boxes from my original iPhone, my first iPhone, things like that. But,
I still have
a lot of warranty, and, I have no use for it, and I'm not going to sell it or anything. I'm just going to toss the box, right?
I really love, because I have all my iPhone boxes. Unfortunately, I don't have the iPhones anymore, which is a sorry tale, especially with the original one. But I like, when a new iPhone comes out and when I go to put the box away, maybe sometimes I get all the boxes out and just look at how similar they are. And I think it's really interesting just to look at the front panels and what was on the Apple's idea of a home screen. And if you look at the original one to the most recent, it's a real visual, telling of a story to see how the iPhones developed. Like the first one, it had just like 3/4 of the screen was filled up with on the springboard, and it was just this really interesting thing. Like it aligned, I think, to the opposite side that we're used to. It was just a very interesting thing to see. To see how it looks now, it's really cool. Like it.
Yeah, but get back to the point I was trying to make is this, and that is that collections are okay as long as they are providing some value to you, but do not mistake sentiment for value. Do not mistake the fact that something once provided value as something that still provides value. And then there are those things that are in fact actually valuable, right? In which case, those are investments, and you likely shouldn't be just keeping them around your house. If you have your grandfather's stamp collection, or, wife's father passes, she will likely inherit a fairly rich collection of presidential campaign memorabilia, especially buttons, because that's something that he collects. And I know that some of those buttons are extremely valuable, right? Especially from the losers and also some of the very hard to find ones, that there's a certain market for those, and that certain collections like that cross many genres, right? That's I believe that Antiques Roadshow was actually, the American version was a copy of a British television program, correct?
We've had the Antiques Roadshow for many, many, many years.
Like 20 years or something.
As long as I can remember, the Antiques Roadshow has been on TV on a Sunday.
Yes, and so from watching Antiques Roadshow that there are certain items that cross many many different types of, you know, collection interests, right? So like presidential buttons could be just as interesting to those who collect buttons in general as it could to those who collect, you know, presidential stuff in general, to those who specifically collect the presidential buttons, to those who, collect, say, anything about Ronald Reagan. Right. I mean, yeah, that there is, you know, that it crosses many genres. And because it does, it drives up the value because there's that much more interest. Right.
Yeah.
Well, when we get that, is that something we're going to take and, you know, put in a box and stick in our basement just to sit around and for us to kind of have to worry about or think about? I'm thinking likely not. I'm thinking likely what we will do is either A, you know, well, first we'll have it appraised, and B, if it's of value and we think that that value will go up in the future, you know, we will put it in a safety deposit box, maybe pass it along to Beatrix when that time comes for us. So, you know, that's one way of dealing with things. Here's another way of at least collecting things while releasing your control over it. I collect Buddhas. You know, little Buddha statues, big Buddha statues, you know, pictures of Buddha, you know, little, you know, the skinny Buddhas of the, that are more typical of, say, you know, Indian and, Pakistani and South Asian, you know, culture, to the fat Buddhas, that are more typical of, say, you know, more, you know, more northeastern culture, all different shapes and sizes, you know, but representations of the Buddha. But here's my rule. I never buy them. They have to be given to me. Because that allows me to have to release my, you know, I've drawn a line in the sand where I've set my self-control. Does that make sense?
Yep, I totally understand that. So you don't just buy every Buddha that you see.
Right.
You've imposed a control on it, which kind of makes it cool in a way, mm-hmm. but also restricts what you're doing to yourself.
Yes, and provides that much more value to each one that's given me, because everyone has a story, right? And some of them are intensely personal to me. My friend Steve Coyle, who I work with him. We you know, became sort of good friends. I became, you know, good friends with him and his girlfriend, for lack of a better term. They had this weird relationship where they were boyfriend and girlfriend. When I knew them, they weren't, but they still very much kind of acted like it, and they went out on dates and stuff, even though they technically were not together, and it was just this weird situation. And the last time I saw Steve, he just out of the blue gave me a Buddha. Just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and no particular reason, just like, hey, I saw this man and it was really cool, and I know you collect these things, and I know you have, you know, this rule where they have to be given, so I wanted to give this to you. I'm like, oh wow, that's really neat, thank you. I was really touched by it. It's a very nice Buddha too. And a couple of weeks later, he was painting in his garage with a space heater on, not realizing that the space heater had a carbon monoxide leak and died.
Oh, I wasn't expecting the story to go that way, Pat.
Well, sorry. Eventually, we all do, for one reason or another, and that was his. That's, you know, that's my final memory of him. So that Buddha means a great deal to me, right? It's a tremendous amount of sentimental attachment that goes along with it. And every time I see it, I think of him and a smile goes on my face. And that brings value. That brings joy. And there's something to be said for that.
So yes, collections can be a good thing then, is the answer to my question. They're controlled.
If they're controlled, but I think even more importantly, if they have a value and meaning to you that is current and present, right? That is, you know, like I said, I think far too often, you know, we hold on to that stamp collection that we, you know, had when we were kids, largely because, you know, even though we no longer actively collect stamps, have no real interest in it anymore, we hold on to it because of some sentimental attachment, but that it brings no value today. And with that, it's like, well, take those stamps down to an appraiser, see what they're worth, and who knows, they might bring value that you can use today by, I don't know, selling them and letting someone else who really does enjoy collecting stamps today enjoy them. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's the thing too, right? For everything that we, you know, that we collect, that's, you know, one, and that we collect and that we own and that we don't enjoy, that's one thing that's not finding purpose and value for somebody else. And very well could be.
Totally.
So, you know, I think that's my take from it.
No, it's good. I'm glad that we got to talk about it. But before we do finish this episode, we need to just let everybody know about what's about just to happen next.
Oh, yes. Yes, there's this. Thanks.
So we had a listener, Icaro Ferre. Did we decide that was how we were going to pronounce his name?
Ferre. Yeah.
And he did something like incredibly awesome. And he took
very cool.
He took he contacted us about. He creates music. That's what he does. That's his thing. He makes music, and there'll be links in the show notes to where you can find his stuff. It's just really awesome. I've listened to some of his tracks in the past. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to make a song out of the Farmer episode. And because it, as I know it did with a lot of people, it really resonated with him. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's some quotes in that which have become viral on the internet. You know, a lot of people talk about it. Mm. And love it, and as I did, like I think it spoke to a lot of our listeners. But what Icaro did was he contacted us. He asked if he could use our voices, and wanted permission, which is awesome that he did that, and I appreciated that. And then I was able to share with him the GarageBand file, the master files. So he was able to get things in as good quality as he could, and he made this incredible song out of it, mm-hmm. which we're going to play for you after we say goodbye on this episode. And I just want to. Just give him a massive shout out. You can download it for free from the page, and Pat will include the link in the show notes to that.
Yep, it's really incredible.
And you really should. It's awesome. At least just go give it a listen to it. It's a couple of minutes, and I've listened to it a bunch of times because I love it.
Yeah,
and it's really good. It's some Patrick Roan wisdom in musical form. It's a real cool, like dancey sort of British garage track. I love it. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Well, you know, with that, we're going to leave people to the song, and we'll talk later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
trying, you know, I'm trying, you'll be stuck.